Welcome to the Ivy Podcast. We're just two aunties sharing our experience through the lens of one Blackfoot woman and one Anishinaabe woman. And we are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. We are 100% Indigenous-led, and this is our podcast. Check us out at indigenousvision.org to learn more about our work, make a donation, or play back any of our radio shows and this episode.
Welcome to Indigenous Visions Podcast. We are officially here on episode 105. My name is Melissa Spence. So glad to be back and healthy once again. Our last podcast was so dark and dreary for me. It was a lot to get through. It was emotional.
Maybe
it was stressful.
Maybe we should take that down. We haven't really taken any episodes down, I don't think, but that one definitely had me self-conscious because there was one time I went to karaoke and I'm like, I'm just going to go. I'm recovering. I sang a song and I regretted it. Like there's not many things I regret in life, but singing karaoke while having a sore throat is one of them.
Really? I don't think we should take it down. I think it's,
yes.
I think it's a really great just capture of a real situation in our lives. Like it has a lot of lessons, the Buffy situation. I'm glad that it got to stay.
The show must go on.
It does. Like as a radio DJ, I did morning shows for 6 years, right? And like every state that you can go through, I went through as being a host. And like, sometimes you're just not in a good mood. Sometimes terrible things are happening in your family. And sometimes you're just sick, you know, and the show must go on. But how are you?
I am whirlwind energy right now. I am in the middle of working on an EPA mid-year project report. I'm in the middle of finishing up work on my quality assessment project plan for the EPA and getting those sections, and it's late and I just can't help it. There's nothing I can do about it. So we might miss this round of the QAP elevating to the next level to get approved or get some edit marks on them so that we could sample next spring under an approved QAP. We might miss it and the show must go on. I'm just one person. I'm doing good despite everything that's kind of piling up this week. It's just that time because we have our organizational taxes as well. So I'm supposed to drop everything in and keep getting those reports because I need to report to the accountant our major donors and our major programs. And that's how he puts the report together for us. I'm doing so much better health-wise, mentally, and emotionally. Like, it's tough to be sick and then also feel like external energies like what we like the Buffy situation, you know. And so it's just,
yeah,
and it does, it was like it's losing a hero. It's losing a hero.
It is. But I want to give a shout out to my current heroes, like Kent Monkman, who's just released a couple of books. There's just a lot of people that are still looking up to, and I really got into that mindset recently. I've really let go of Buffy and moved on. And I'm okay with that now. It only took a couple of weeks. Wasn't a big deal. I think the being sick and just, you know, on my moon time, plus the state of the world, everything that's going on, it just kind of like all compounded that day that we recorded. But I'm glad that we captured it because it wasn't an authentic expression of how I felt.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's some pretty serious things going on in the world right now. The wars,
right?
The genocide, the unnecessary killing. Children are dying, and that's completely unnecessary. That children should not be part of war. And I thought about it, like because I do have this platform, and we do have an obligation to say something about it because we reach more people than just a solo individual. And I agree to that. You know, I'm also the person that, like, we can't let the impacts of genocide here in and on my community be forgotten, or the healing work that's necessary and ongoing. And I know how hard it is to be an Indigenous person talking about genocide and you reach blank faces. Like you can literally talk about genocide and the reaction is blank faces. People really don't know what to think and they shut down when you start talking about atrocities at that level. So
cultural humility.
This world is a turbulent place and there is a massacre happening of somebody at any given point around the world. There's jumbo jets of children going down to diseases and cancer every 3 minutes, you know, like it's a very horrible world if you start to get focused in on it. And that's what our programs are designed to do, is to focus on the disparities and the disproportionate impacts and stats that happen to Indigenous communities in the United States and Canada. And we worked that for a couple of years and it got dark and it got hard and it got depressing. And so we spun our programs to focus on the healing aspect of that. And I think that I've really found my lane in that I'm not a person to yell or resist or to fight. I do in my own way, but me reclaiming my peace and sustaining my joy, knowing that these things have happened and are happening at the same time, and that my joy as an Indigenous woman who lives in among all those disproportionate stats is such an act of resilience and resistance in itself, and that I'm doing my child a huge favor and I'm disrupting the chain of PTSD and historical trauma and intergenerational trauma. And I'm showing him that while these things are happening, we can acknowledge them and we could do our part to make sure that our bloodline maintains a healing aspect to it, instead of holding on to, because we can get stuck with mourning and grieving, and that has all kinds of trickle down effects for disease and illness in your future generations. Whoo, was that a lot?
I love how you put it that way, because that's exactly where I'm at too. I'm not about going into the streets. I don't even protest. I don't protest for one. I'm afraid of the violence of America. I truly am. And I promised my mom that I would never protest in America. So I always listen to my mom and I'll always do what she says, especially if I make a promise. But preserving my peace, I've been feeling really guilty about that lately too, because I know that I've acknowledged the genocide that's going on publicly too on my platform, and I'm still having a really great life and finding so much joy in all the things that I'm doing. And I'm really having guilty feelings over that sometimes a little bit worse a couple of weeks ago when it was initially sinking into my brain. But now I'm like, you know what? I can do what I can do here with my platform and my privilege and my life. And I'm still going to be a wonderful person and do what I can. And that's the best I can do, right? Like I can only do the best I can do. And this is my best right now. And if that's not enough, don't care.
You know, it's always going to not be enough or wrong with how we are reacting to this, you know. Self-preservation is kind of one of them, but like this stuff is ongoing. It's just mapping out injustices. These are very common things. Everything they're doing over there, they've practiced on a Native community here. It's like, it's just, they're not brand new tactics. They're proven tactics to weaken an already weak nation. And they usually, you know, it always comes down to the kids. Like ours got taken to residential school and we're going on over 11,000 children who are being found in shallow, unmarked graves who didn't make it home. And that's 11,000 children as well. And it's blank faces. And there's still people denying that those are actually real children, and denying that genocide happened in the U.S. to Indigenous people here. And there's ongoing systemic genocidal ripples within the system of just how an individual can be kept in poverty, and then how an individual has access to foods and nutrition being in the food deserts that we are in, and then how that affects our lifespan and the quality of that. And so Yeah, it's just a lot. Everything's connected, you know, the butterfly effect. It's all connected, but I think it's really important to look at the small things, even if that's a twinkle of dew on the leaf in the morning. Like, look at the magic that happens there and those little reflections, and then try to absorb that beauty, because whatever feelings we're feeling, we kind of encapsulate and carry around forever, and that manifests either continued joy or continued grief and sadness. And so, and then that what happens when an entire community and nation of people are feeling that way and putting these things out into the world, I think it's really important to for everyone to focus on feelings of love and on feelings of safety and joy in these times, and what you know, it's that basic stuff, like what you think about the most happens, what you fear the most happens, what you're constantly feeding grows. And so I have always thought we need to be more careful with how powerful our thoughts and words could be.
Definitely. Yeah, it's been really a rough month for, well, again, that's an understatement for me. But for the first time, we're seeing genocide live streamed, right? Like, this is the first time that we're seeing like a severe situation of it live streamed. So protect your health, protect yourself if you can, do what you can. I'm not here to give advice. I'm just here to do my best. And I wanted to make this episode a little bit more lighthearted because that's what we wanted to talk about. I mean, we have a lot going on. We've got it's Native American Heritage Month once again. We're here in November. Our last episode was Halloween. We've got a fundraiser going on because we have some amazing projects again that we've kind of pivoted into like a preventative mode. I, for one, am all about the MMIW self-defense here in Las Vegas. I'll be heading out to another self-defense class this evening. I'm super stoked about that because every week, ladies are showing up and like empowering themselves. And it is so amazing to watch week after week. I don't take part in the actual self-defense. I just sit there and hand out drinks and just bask in the positivity. And it's just wonderful. So if you want to donate to keep that kind of stuff free, we do have a GoFundMe right now going on for Native American Heritage Month. I'll post the link for that in the show notes for this episode. If you're listening, you're feeling generous, if you can't afford to donate, share it. If you can, just spread it around. That would really, really help us a lot.
That this is one of the biggest fundraisers that I've ever done. We're trying to raise $1,492,000, the magic number. Well,
Perfect.
and it's going to what it's going to do is it's going to keep every single program running for 3 to 5 years. Like, that we've been scooting along on very tiny budgets, like anywhere between $1,000 to $10,000 of building these programs. And so each one of them needs a manager. And I want those people to be employed full time with good health and benefits and a good healthcare package, because that's not what Native people get. And it's very hard to find. And I would love to offer that to our knowledge keepers as well. We always talk about how knowledge keepers have a wealth of knowledge at a university level, but it's not accepted in the educational system that we are in today. And so, you know, I would like to pay my people what they're worth and make sure that none of us are dealing with like poverty problems while we try to do this work. That seems like an unfair ask to ask, but if you follow Nonprofit AF on Instagram, he makes jokes at all of these funny things, like how nonprofits have to kind of like teeter along on and change the world on $5,000. Well, this is a huge fundraiser, and it's going to be divvied up between those programs, and those programs are going to explode over the next 3 to 5 years and become the resources that I intended them to be on a mass scale. So that's like culturally appropriate watershed models. That's state-of-the-art interactive storytelling maps, not just for my nation, but every single nation out there who has a person like me interested in adjusting and helping parallel the narrative right now to one that's more culturally appropriate and by the people instead of about them. So narrative fixing, helping to save our significant places. We have some places in Sweetgrass Hills that have some acid mine drainage in them right now. And that literally takes millions of dollars to clean up by themselves. And that's not an Indigenous vision problem, but it is a significant site, not just for the Blackfoot people, but for all people. And we have mink, otter, and raccoon tracks walking through acid mine drainage there. So I'm making some phone calls to the 4-H director, which is the campground it's at, and the county administrators and some locals there. And we're going to try to figure out where that acid mine drainage is coming into our precious campground. And it's a place that I've been camping for probably more than 35 years. And it's a place where I hope to continue cultural activities into the future. My grandpa fasted and sweat there for 13 years throughout the 90s and the early 2000s, and took several men who are now elders for the Blackfoot Nations out there to learn how to fast and sweat. And so I want to continue that access to cultural activities and cultural opportunities and significant places, so that we can continue to rebuild our identities and empower ourselves spiritually and mentally, and bringing our existence back out beyond those reservation boundaries, into those significant places, where those places become more beautiful when they have their people, and vice versa, because we've developed those mutually beneficial reciprocal relationships with the landscape, where we take care of it and it takes care of us. And so the Food Forest and Bear Gulch are other mapping sites that we're trying to take care of. And we're trying to get Bear Gulch on the National Historic Registry list, because it's called and dubbed Second to Writing on Stone, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And there's over 5,000 pictographs at this site, and it's not protected. And right now, just the private landowner is doing what she can to keep people out, and to also give people access so that she can teach people just how amazing First Peoples were and the connection to the land. And she was told by anthropologists who helped record the site to stop removing the shale at the bottom of the cliff and exposing more pictographs, because there were already too many to count. So we're working on getting that registered. And so I just need, like, you know, assistant money to help file all this paperwork, as well as like our accounting assistant money with that could help with these taxes and all of the reporting that we're doing from our in the field work. Melissa needs a professional radio DJ salary.
Melissa needs a new bag
to grow. Yeah. Well, and you're going to be responsible for the Food Forest Artist Retreat setup. And it's going to be a special cabin over in New York, where Indigenous artists can go utilize the best recording equipment available that we can find, you know, within our price range for that size recording studio. And they can go there and stay in cabins that we use as a retreat for the artists and other Indigenous people. Also cultural exchange opportunities, because there'll be a nature educational trail with Indigenous names. And this property is in the historical use area of Oneida, Onondaga, Lenape, and Delaware people. And so we'll be utilizing those languages for the plants and trees and animals along the trail. Those are just our mapping projects, our MMIW. And then what else do we have? I think that's it. So with CWD, contaminant, food forest, the dogs, I'm being trained. I have a new dog and I miss him. I'm getting kind of attached to him, and you're not supposed to, because he may still fail out of the program. Well, he may still fail out of the program, and I can't have a pet dog in the same household as a working dog, because they require such different lifestyles.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it could be both.
I wish it could be both, but they just require different things. And like, we require working dogs to be kind of like calm and off at home, just kind of being and then the toys are utilized in their work. So if they're getting toys at home, then work wouldn't be much, you know, different. And so they get different kind of nourishment and and cuddles at home, but it's just kind of a boring place for them to be, because work is where we want to keep their attention and their toy drive to detect whatever it is, either the aquatic mussels or the mink and otter poo that we're having them find.
So donate to us if you can. A cool $1.4 million will take us for the next 3 years. We would really appreciate that, like a lot.
Thanks for listening to the Ivy Podcast. We are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. You can follow us on Facebook at Indigenous Vision and on Instagram, Indigenous Vision Media. If you happen to miss our cultural humility training for October 2023, don't worry, we've got another one coming up this January 2024. I have shared the details and the link for you to sign up and learn more in the show notes for this episode. Take care, enjoy your day, and thank you so much for listening to the Indigenous Vision Podcast.